Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Heal With Us podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ebony Abanero.
And my name is Ofuma Igbo. And today we have a special guest joining us, Mr. Kingsley Ume, who will be bringing us a wealth of knowledge on the topic of finance. So Kingsley, would you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes. Ofuma Ebony, thank you for having me on the show today. Like they said, my name is Kingsley Ume. I'm the president and managing director with Pius Capital Group, and here to engage a very hopefully fruitful conversation with you guys. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're going to jump right in. In your experience, Kingsley, what are some common financial stressors that impact mental health? Like just from your, I know you have a very vast background in finance. So what are some stressors that you see?
Yeah. So I think, you know, just to kind of set the table for your audience, you know, what we delve in is mainly, you know, business finances and help businesses grow through debt and equity. But I think for your audience as well, you know, personal finances and business finances, you know, they're relatively the same. The principles are the same in terms of making sure that, you know, things are in order. And, you know, one of the stresses that I think, you know, can come into it is not really having a detailed outline of what you want to do from a financial standpoint, right? So a lot of people, you know, they earn an income and, you know, the income, you know, they have bills, obviously, and there's some obligations that that go with it, but there's no really plan per se. And then sometimes, you know, when life happens, in which life happens for all of us, you know, some of those things that kick in, you know, maybe a car breaks down or, you know, a kid needs something that maybe it wasn't necessarily in the quote plan, you know, that could cause some stresses right there. So I think, you know, planning is probably one of the major things that that could cause some stresses. I think that's probably the main thing there.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you bring up planning because for all of our listeners and for you, the format of our podcast is Heal With Us. And what we've noticed in a lot of different types of podcasts where we could be talking about forgiveness, we could be talking about fashion. A lot of the reoccurring thing is planning. So I think that's something that we can all learn from is like that planning part. That planning piece is what really helps us in a lot of aspects of our lives. So glad to hear that. That's cool. So, and this is for you and Ufoma, please chime in. How can financial instability lead to feelings of helplessness or hopelessness? And when we're saying instability, like that whole, so there are some people who have a steady job. There may be people that are making 6-7 figures, but their finances are still unstable. How does that lead to feelings of helplessness and hopelessness?
Yeah, Fuma,
For businesses as well, Kingsley. Sorry, for businesses as well. How do you think those people feel? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Ofuma, please.
Okay, I think in general, you know, that feeling of helplessness kind of stems from the idea of loss of control. When you have no control over your basic needs, and whether that's housing, food, healthcare, you know, that worry just kind of get a sense of like, you know, instability. And then that debt trap is what, if we think about that, like, you know, it's like never ending cycle where you're paying through the minimum payment and that, like, am I ever going to get out of this? Like, you just feel stuck. That hopelessness just kind of kicks in. And I guess also looking into some idea of limited opportunities whenever we think of financial stability, having that ability to have that social activity. So like Kingsley mentioned earlier, providing for kids, whether it's extracurricular activities and just things in general. So it brings about a lot of component that we need to factor into.
Yeah, I agree with that there. I there's not really much to add to what Fuma said there. You know, it really brings you know, a lot of, you know, induced stress with financial instability. Yeah, it's probably one of the number one reasons why, you know, couples, you know, split apart, because that's a big issue You know, when it leads to that kind of stress, it's a big factor on everyday life individually and obviously for businesses. And so there's a lot of pressure to for you know where financial stability comes through there and leads to kind of, well, gosh, what do I do next? So yeah, I totally agree with that from a
Yeah, that was a good key one. I think it presents well the whole idea of the impact on relationships. You see that as one of the major factors that brings people into counseling is to, want to navigate and process through that. So that's a very important one. As far as debt, it says how does debt contribute to financial stress and anxiety? Like just the idea of the umbrella of debt as a whole. How does it contribute
Yeah.
most to financial stress?
Yeah, so I think that's a good question because you know, a lot of people see debt and like, oh gosh, I got to run from it. Debt is not actually necessarily a bad thing if utilized correctly. It is a frenemy, if you will, right? Debt can be used to leverage to actually gain, right? For instance, I mean, for what we do, if you're speaking from a business standpoint, when businesses need to grow, they do accumulate debt, whether it's working capital to pay for equipment or you know, to hire more employees or to just expand in any way they need to. Sometimes debt is actually a necessity for growth. And it, when utilized correctly, it is a friend. And that applies to an individual, right? Sometimes debt could be used to even start a business or to just, you know, have some temporary relief for emergency bills or maybe just even send your kid off to college. But debt at the same time can cause some anxiety to your point, because if it's not used correctly, or if there's no plan, and I think plan is probably going to be a key word that we're going to be talking about here in terms of how to utilize and leverage debt, well, then yeah, absolutely. It can be a spiraling effect to where it can really cause some major stresses. And so I think, you know, for everyone that's listening, when there's a debt with a plan, it alleviates anxiety if you're taking on debt just to take on debt to kind of you know, fill in some gaps without really any, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C. Yes, some major anxiety and some stresses will come along with it because it'd just be in a cycle that you really wouldn't be able to get out of, especially when you start adding the interests and the compounding interest that comes along with it. So yeah, absolutely.
So, what are some of the psychological effects of high interest? You know what I mean? Like high interest debt. I know
Yeah.
my own, like my own college story, God, was like, I all of our listeners, some of our listeners have the opportunity to make sure that their college education is paid for, like their parents took care of it. Some of us had to do student loans. Some of us were all in this mixed bucket. I was in the bucket of I had scholarships for most of it, and then the rest was loans and credit cards. And like I knew nothing. And at that age, psychologically, it's nothing. It was just a card. Maybe that is the psychological effect. I had it didn't touch me because I was just swiping away. But I know as at this age, I don't have a lot of credit cards. We have like, one major one, a couple things, nothing like that. So I said all that to ask, what do you think the psychological effects are? And maybe it's different for different age groups. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, definitely. So psychological effect of it is on having an interest rate is it can be if it can be devastating if the debt isn't taken care of because of this thing called compound interest, right? It's not just the interest that you have on whatever the balance is, that interest compounds every day. So basically a simple form of it is just saying interest on top of interest, right? So the more you hang on to whatever debt it is, the more interest you're paying incrementally on that debt. I don't want to get too far into the of it, but essentially, it again, yeah, there's a an endless cycle of, oh gosh, am I ever going to get out of this? Which is the psychological effect when too much debt is being carried, or you know, the debt cannot be satisfied. So yeah, absolutely, there is a major psychological effect with not being able to you know, sustain or sustain paying back a debt is probably the best way to say that.
Wow,
Okay.
that's a
Well,
good
yeah.
one. And so, like you've mentioned about cycle. Now, how can we as individuals, that are trapped in cycle, how can we break free from this cycle that you're speaking of?
Yeah, so it's like you take it in increments, right? So if there's a plan, ding, 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 keyword again, right? Where you're saying, okay, I've got, I'm just going to throw out a number, $1,000 of debt. Obviously, you don't have a full $1,000 right now, but if you plan, say, I'm going to save $5 a day on whatever it is that I would normally buy, whether it's Starbucks, whatever, fancy that you have on a daily basis that you don't really need, and put that amount aside, going towards specifically to whatever debt that you have, and accumulate that. And that money's gone. You don't even look at it. It's just here as a savings towards this debt in a completely saving different account to start chipping away at that debt. That's one way to start doing it, is really just take it in increments, in small bites, rather than look at the entire amount and say, well, I can't get out of this, $20,000 debt or $10,000 debt or whatever the case may be. You take it in small doses and chip away at it that way.
I'll start with a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what do you think? And I actually have a personal story about this. I'll talk about it a little bit. So when me and my husband decided, okay, we need to buy a house, we looked at our debt and we literally attacked it. We had a board. And we attacked it. We did the smallest to the biggest. And I know there's a term for that. I'm sure you probably know what came there. I don't know if it's snowball or snow down or something. Yeah. But we went smallest to biggest. And when we moved in, we hadn't known it. And so the way that we felt at the end was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Looking back, it was like, okay, we got rid of everything but the okay, so I do have one big student loan that we're still chipping away at, but everything else was gone. All the 20 somethings, the 30 somethings, foolish buying, all of that was gone and it felt good. What I know how my mental health felt, but do you guys have any experience, Foma and Kingsley, with people that may have said, "Hey, I paid one thing off, I feel better," or maybe there are people who feel like they're missing out on things because instead of choosing, another handbag, they're choosing to pay something off and they're depressed. Do you guys have any experience with what it looks like when people are starting to break free from that debt cycle?
Might want to take that one first.
Yeah, I can take it first. Not directly when it comes to finance, but just more of goals in general, whether that be, readily immediate goals. So what I try to do is make it more realistic. There's this term that we use called SMART goals, right? It has to be measurable, attainable, right? So having something where it's like, okay, let's start. What's the plan? Just like Kingsley's been mentioning, all throughout today's podcast, having that plan and then saying, okay, let's tackle it based on, short-term goals versus long-term, and getting the outcome and the results that you need kind of encourages you to keep, pushing through that next layer. And I think that's been more beneficial because it gives them the ability, like, I can do this. This is possible. I don't have to feel stuck or trapped in a cycle, right? And that works in any goals that we have in mind. So as long as they're SMART goals, they're specific, they're measurable, attainable, realistic, and you can time it, it's doable.
Yeah, I mean, I piggyback on that. I think there's a, we were talking about, the anxiety that comes with debt. I think just the opposite happens when you have gone into a situation where you have paid off that debt. There is an exhilaration of just knowing, oh, this noose is around that was around my neck is now gone, right? It frees me up now to do other things, right? To save more, to, maybe take the trip or maybe even expand on other aspects of a business if that's the case, if their business is saddled with debt. There is an exhilarating feeling to overcoming that. And I think that's also good too, and to be able to recognize that, Once you come out of it, it's a good feeling and should be talked about as well. So, yeah, I agree.
Always important. And like when I see people really make those changes and see themselves on the other side, whereas like for a long time I felt so stuck. Like it's affirming. It's a great feeling in the world. So it says, how do feelings of anxiety or stress impact financial decision making? What are your takes on that?
I think it becomes very erratic, right? When you're in a feeling of crunch, or there is a your back is to the wall, that decision making becomes very, not thought through, right? I mean, there is no plan at that point, right? You're winging it, because you just got to get to the next day, which is understandable. And so I think when there's stress involved in that, again, it just really don't have the sound resources at that point to really make good decisions in financial situations, which is a reason why planning any kind of financial situation, especially large ones, like Abby was talking about of having a home, really does impact that that mental well-being. Because again, if it's crunch time and financial decisions need to be made, you're not utilizing your best decision ability because there's some stress that's involved in that. And so I totally believe that having a structured plan again would help alleviate a lot of that.
Absolutely.
So, how can financial advisors or counselors better address the emotional aspects of m managing money? Do you guys have to do, and I guess the question is, have you noticed that sometimes you have to play counselor, not just financial counselor, but cheerleader or principal? School principal, like, do you feel like financial advisors or counselors need to be better prepared for with people's emotions, or is emotions not even a thing when it comes to finances?
Well, I mean, again, if you're talking from a business standpoint, which is, how we operate, typically in that aspect of it, emotion is not really there. Because no, there is a plan that the business has. We have a plan with the business and we merge those plans together, right? And there's tactics and strategies to get to where ultimately, why we're doing business. I think from a personal individual standpoint, maybe perhaps if I can answer that a little bit better. But I think, there are advisors out there who can help on that individual level, financial advisors, to help, money managers that, can say, okay, listen, this is what I want to do, right? This is how I want to get there. I think it's better to just have an overall idea of what the end goal is than to just say, hey, I need help, right? I think, you've got to want to know the direction you want to go to try to, get to where you want to on an individual basis. I mean, I think on that level, that'll probably be, one way to go. But I don't know, I'm curious to see what if I would have to say on that from an individual standpoint.
When it comes to, financial advisor and counseling, I think that there has to be some level of training and emphasizing more so on, the overall goal, like you mentioned, knowing, having a plan, knowing what the outcome is and putting some steps to get there. But when we think of active listening, practicing the skills as far as like really hearing what the need is, like, when someone sits in front of us and say, hey, these are my pain points, these are my concern, whether financially or, in any capacity, active listening to be able to understand even the emotional cues, the body language that comes along with their concern about the financial pressure that they're going through, and being able to provide the tools and the necessary assistance to get them to that goal. But definitely having a plan and knowing the outcome of that will help the overall aspect of addressing it.
Agreed.
Well said. Yeah, well said. Listening, that was the other word. So we've got planning and we've got listening now.
Right.
Those are good words. Good words.
Absolutely. So what resources, I know we've been talking about plan and listening and putting all the pieces together. What resources are available to support individuals who may be struggling with mental health impact based on financial problems that they've had over time?
Yeah, like I said, there are several resources out there, individual financial advisors that can help help plan out where they would put your goals in a spreadsheet, understand, what your income is, understand, what your expenses are, understand what the savings goals are, and really plan it out on a spreadsheet so you can see exactly what that is. That would include some debt consolidation. If there is a extreme amount of debt, they can, actually, instead of owing A, B, and C, they can consolidate it to work with you to get, one person under that, refinance all those debts, if you will, with one interest rate, so you can manage it in one entity rather than just feel a bit overwhelmed by, owing, again, all of these entities for different debts. And there are some financial advisors on an individual level that can really manage and help with that. 'Cause, not everybody uses spreadsheets. Obviously we use them on a day-to-day basis, but sometimes that could be intimidating to some folks. So if you get with somebody that can understand, how to really navigate through that so you can see it, I think that helps really kind of get through some of those mental illness for those financial problems.
Yeah, some additional helpful tools that I've used personally. I know some of us may be privy to Dave Ramsey, with his books and training and wealth of knowledge when it comes to financial peace. And I think Anthony O'Neill came out of that as well. I think he worked alongside with Dave Ramsey at some point. And so he has a YouTube channel that he uses every, I know on Wednesdays for sure, that he helps some individuals kind of navigate and get, if you have real life questions, he's there live, ready to answer questions. So you don't feel trapped and stuck like, there's no hope. And then I'm gonna put a plug of a book that I've read recently. I didn't write the book, but it's called Atomic Habits, just helping us get into making better choices and habits. Like, just I'll say start reading that book and think it makes a big difference.
Excellent. No, I agree. I mean, there are several books, there are several seminars out there. Nothing is going to come to any individual. You've got to go out and really kind of earn it, right? And so, yeah, I think there are books and podcasts like this one, where you can kind of understand where there are resources. I think the important thing is that there are resources, right? There are people who understand on an individual basis, business basis, to try to really get you out of that, debt, and just, get you in a mental space where you can feel like, okay, there is hope, right? So I agree.
And even before the plan, I think if we are honest with ourselves, we have to, again, be honest that, hey, I do need help and this is a problem. I need help with it.
Sure.
Yeah. So we want to kind of move to an area where we have in some of our other podcasts addressed, we love it that our listeners are from all walks of life and have all different types of economic backgrounds as well as religious backgrounds and that sort of thing. My question is, how can someone build strategies, budgeting strategies and financial strategies with a limited income? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the sayings is that it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend, right? Not how much you make, it's how much you spend and what are you spending on, right? If you're on a limited budget, all of us at some point have areas where we don't necessarily need something, right? We have it because we just want it, right? We don't necessarily need it, right? So I think, and I use a Starbucks, for an instance. And I use that because I personally had to, watch how I was spending on that, because I was spending an insanely amount on Starbucks every day. And just that amount, just that alone, I saw a significant savings in my own personal finances, just because I recognized that one thing. And then, of course, your other aspects of your life that you can really kind of look into and see where you don't need to spend. And so for somebody that's on a limited income, it still goes back to going to those resources and trying to understand, okay, I have one thing that I'm, one aspect of it that I'm making, but exactly what am I spending on? What I've got my bills here, car note, whatever, apartment, mortgage, whatever, rent, maybe stuff for my kids, and then what's really left over, right? When you can actually see it, because a lot of times we keep things in our head and say, okay, I've got this, this, and that, and that. When you can see it, when you've got a plan, that actually helps when you can write it down. And so I think just being able to understand not necessarily what you're bringing in, but what's going out, is a good tactic to try to effectively, have some strategies for budget. Also in a budget, budget is another word for a plan, right? What are the expected amount that you're going to be bringing in? What is your income? Okay. And then the expected expenses. It's the same principles. Okay. You want to know what you're going to be spending, and you want to know what you're going to be saving for the rainy day. And again, it's the same kind of aspect, writing down exactly what those things are going to be doing and helping you build that. And I think that is a major strategy, and what I would encourage anyone to do from that standpoint to kind of, that's one of the most effective strategies, especially for somebody that's on a limited income.
That's very key.
Yeah, watching what goes out. I think we sometimes focus on what comes in the most, like, I don't make enough, I don't make enough, I don't make enough, or I want to make more, I want to make like whatever side of the cup you want to look at it, like, right? But yeah, paying attention to what is actually going out and what doesn't have to. I know I saw this. I know we were talking about resources. I don't feel like I'm a professional at any level on this particular subject, but I saw on I think it was like a Facebook ad where there's a company that helps you go through your subscriptions and make sure that you've like canceled all the ones that you said, I'll just do it for like 30 days, and a year later you've given them $300, Then again, it's like I'm signing up for another app to do it for me. So there's another subscription, but at least they'll help you take off the other ones. So let me ask you guys this, both of you. How can achieving financial goals build self-esteem and gives a person more confidence and self-control?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can start off. Yeah, achieving financial goals is a major windfall, right? I mean, when you can do it, you can do it again, right? It goes back to the debt that we were talking about earlier, right? I mean, once you get into a situation to where you have overcome, whatever debt aspect that you have, that is an exhilarating feeling again, I just go back to that. Small wins lead to big wins. All things start off big, or all things that were big started off at small at some point, right? And so financial goals is a kind of a broad perspective. Some financial goals could mean, I've achieved this amount of savings, or I've earned this amount of work. All of those things contribute to a good health mental aspect of it. But at the end of the day, it still has to be managed in an appropriate way to continue that self-esteem. Because you hear of athletes who have earned millions of dollars, or individuals that have won a significant amount of money in the lottery, wind up losing it. At the time that they've had it, yeah, I'm sure they felt really good, right? Who wouldn't? Again, it goes back to what's going out, right? And so all that's part of the financial goals achievement is also managing it, not just that one time or few times of achieving whatever target that you were set out to do. And so it's all encompassing in one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. Like, just that sense of confidence builder, where there's that sense of accomplishment when you're able to achieve financial goal, and that empowerment and control, like, you know, taking charge, being able to say, "Hey, I'm back in control." This it fosters a sense of control and overall empowerment. One thing I want to add to that is that increase in positive reinforcement cycle, because it gives you motivation for more. When you have accomplished your financial goals, it often motivates you to do even more. Like, it fuels that success where you're with the ongoing process, and that and builds that momentum as you gain back control overall.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. So I know we always like to end with our five fast facts. It usually takes this one, but what are some five fast facts about mental health and finances that we can leave our audience with? And this is for everybody.
Okay. So I think it goes back to the main thing, right? You've got to plan it, right? You've got to understand what your targets are. You've got to understand how you want to achieve financial success. And financial success can mean getting out of debt, or for financial success could mean saving, whatever target that you want. It's got to be planned. It's got to be purposely planned, right? We talked about some areas where you can go and, some of the resources in terms of financial advisors or some podcasts or books that can be gathered for, and the resources that are around to achieve that. So I think planning. I think probably number two is to write down that plan, right? I think I mentioned earlier, sometimes we have a plan, but it's in our head, but there is an actual power in looking at the plan. You're writing it down. You have some tactics in how you want to achieve that plan. You're seeing it, and you're actually going along with it. I mean, Ebony pointed out to her personal situation where she had a whiteboard for the house that she wanted, right? I mean, I'm sure, they would have been able to do it either way, because they had a goal in mind. But the fact that she was able, her and her husband were able to see it, I'm sure that helped get that through. I think probably the third thing is, you want to be able to measure it, right? You want to be able to measure what you're doing. You want to have incremental wins. So you have this big goal here at the end, but you want to have these incremental achievable amounts that you're getting at or chipping away that you can say, okay, oh cool, I've got this piece. All right, good. Let's keep going. Good. We can check this piece off. Okay, let's keep going. Right. So you want to have some achievable targeted goals within the goals, if you will, right? That helps motivate for the ultimate success of what you want to do for whatever aspect that you've got for mental sorry, for financial achievement. I think probably the fourth thing is, you want to educate yourself, right? And education means, again, listening to this podcast, right? Listening to other podcasts, understanding what financial success is, reading what other people have done, hearing what other people have done, understanding how, you don't have to be, get a PhD in anything, but just kind of understand how, basic finance works. How does debt work? Why do we have debt? Why is debt even good? What are some of the trappings of falling into debt? Right? Just kind of that self-education that you kind of instill in yourself, rather than just saying, help me. Help me is good because nobody achieves anything without help, but it always helps to help yourself, right? And so I think kind of understanding a little bit of what's out there will help you in that regard. And I think probably, was that four? So probably fifth is self-discipline, right? You control you, right? At the end of the day, you can read all of the books, you can listen to all the podcasts, you can go to whatever seminars, you can reach out to whatever financial advisor is, whether it's a close friend that really understands it. But at the end of the day, it's really on you, right? To really achieve what
So
you
that
want to achieve.
self-discipline
Comes into play, to really understand, all right, I'm going to do this. Self-discipline is an attitude. So, if you take on that attitude, and try to achieve that plan, you will do it, but it starts off with you. And so I think those are kind of the quick five facts, I think, for mental health in terms of finances. So
Awesome. Awesome. That is great.
yeah.
Great stuff. So, if you could tell everybody about where they can learn more information about you and your company.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, like I said in the beginning, we are Pius Capital Group. You can find us at www.piuscapitalgroup. It's PIUS Capital Group. And what we do is we help businesses, small, medium, and large businesses, raising loans, basically business loans, to help them achieve whatever financial goals they may have, right? And so, we have all walks of industries that come through us: healthcare, manufacturing, equipment financing. There's a variety of things that we do for individuals or businesses, I should say, to help them achieve their financial goals. And so one of the things that we always say is that there's a little bit of something for everyone, whether you're building a very large skyscraper in the middle of downtown, or you've got a small retail shop that you need a little bit of help in terms of getting some finances going. And so that's kind of what we do in our bread and butter. And then on top of that, there are some financial and business advisement that comes with it to make sure all of the goals and the plans come aligned with your business. And so we've been real successful at that, and we continue and hope to continue to help people in their businesses moving forward.
Awesome. And are you guys on social media?
We are on social media, so on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I think LinkedIn as well. Yeah, we're on all four of them. At least those are four platforms that I can think of. Yes, you can find us on all of them.
Awesome. 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 Well, thank you so much, Kingsley. We appreciate the time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, for sure. It was fun.
Guys, that's it for today. Make sure you come back next week for our next episode.
To reach us with questions or comments, email us at healwithus@atlantatreatmentcenter.org.